Today we're happy to have Brother Danny Perciel from the Gatineau Mountain View Congregation, and he will speak to us on the theme, Do You Share God's View of Life? Brother Perciel, please.
Gonna figure out that timer. So, as we sang, life is a gift. It's a miracle, really. But not everyone appreciate a gift the same way. And if we could have the first picture right away. In 1998, the widow of a Italian art restorer sent this drawing to Christie's in New York. It was described as an unknown artist from Germany, late 18th century. And it sold for 20 grand to an art dealer in Montreal. And it stayed in his store for 10 years. And then someone came along 10 years later, saw this, and there was something with the left-handed strokes and something about the lips that he says is the hair stood up on his arms. And so he bought it for the same price. You know, the guy, 10 years been here, have it, 20 grand. So he started to research, and he ended up in Milan at the library there. And I don't know if you can notice from your seat, but there's a little stitching on and on the side with her faces. So it used to be part of a book. So that's how he ended up there. And fair enough, he found a bridal book with a missing page, a perfect match. So now we do know this lady is called Bianca Sforza. She was the daughter of the Duke of Milan. And this would have been drawn by Leonardo da Vinci. Now, suddenly, I've seen some face going, oh. Now, suddenly, this thing is worth $160 million. So, it is the same drawing, right? It hasn't changed. But suddenly, the value has changed. So, we realize that sometimes a lack of appreciation could come from a lack of knowledge, from ignorance. Sometimes, just tagging a name on something suddenly gives it value. Thank you for the picture, brothers. So we can't say these people were ignorant. The widow didn't give it to a friend, didn't throw it in garbage. She sent it to Christie's, and Christie's accepted. They don't sell just about anything, right? They saw value in it. And the guy, the poor guy from Montreal, he paid $20,000 for something that was unknown, right? But we all agree that only the last and current owner truly saw value into what he was looking at, or truly understood the value of it. So that's what we'll do today, is look into some aspect of that gift of life that we have and see how it could affect our view on it. So the first thing we could see is we do recognize that life comes from Jehovah's energy. Right, and we know from Einstein, E=MC2, that's, you know, energy and matter is kind of the same thing. So everything that we see, everything that we touch, everything that exists, ultimately comes from a source of energy. And we know we cannot put life into inanimate object. We tried, still trying, and we can do fantastic things. We can clone, right? We can do in vitro fertilization. Obviously, we can reproduce. But we cannot put life into inanimate objects. Only Jehovah can do that. Now, we know that. Why are we bringing this up? Well, would you agree that if suddenly we realize that there is only that one source who can give life, this only one source where life comes from, that maybe we should pay attention to what that person think about life, right? It's just like tagging a name to this drawing. Suddenly it's worth much more. Now we'll tag the name of Jehovah to it because he's the one who made it. So let's go in our Bible and see what he believes we should, how we should see life. So Genesis 9 and verse 5. So Genesis 9, 5, it says, I will demand an accounting for your life blood. I will demand an accounting from every living creature. And from each man, I will demand an accounting for the life of his brother. Anyone shedding man's blood, by man will his own blood be shed. So we see there that to Jehovah, life is not something that is trivial. It is something that is sacred. Right? If a life was lost, it had to be, something had to be paid for that. So it was not something trivial. And said the same thing in our eyes. We should see this as something that is extremely precious. And we remember in number, there's the city of refuge, right? And we understand how this would affect the view of the Jews on life. Right? If you were to kill someone, you had to pay with your life. That's what we just saw, right? However, to Jehovah, even that life is precious. And so if it wasn't your fault, you could run off to that city and your life would be spared because it was an accident. However, to really to press the point, it wasn't your fault, but you still took a life. That person was not allowed to leave that city, right? Because then they could lose their life. So it was really impressing how important life is to Jehovah. An unborn child, right? We read about that. If a woman was to lose her child because she was hit, retribution had to be made. Animals. An animal would take a life of human, and that animal had to die. Now you could say, well, that's not his fault. It's an animal. It doesn't know any better. Fair enough. But to Jehovah, life is so sacred that it had to be compensated for. And so this is how Jehovah views life as something that is extremely important and sacred, really. So there's some glare in my thing. Thank you. So how should we view it? How should this knowledge of how Jehovah view life should affect our point of view? So we know when Jehovah created Adam and Eve, he blessed them, right? He sanctified them. We don't read that about the animals. So we're not just an animal, like some would like us to believe. We're special. Jehovah viewed us as special. We had this ability to reproduce, but it had to be done within the confine of marriage. And we'll come back to that a bit later. Now, when Adam and Eve disobeyed Jehovah, they knew what they were doing, right? They knew it. So it was a decision that they made. So their freedom of deciding for themselves or whatnot was more important, really, than the gift of life. Right? When we see it this way, really, when you boil it down, they didn't value the opportunity they had to live forever. They'd rather, you know, for a short period of time, decide for themselves. So where does that bring us down to? Let's turn into Ecclesiastes 3:19 and see to what degree we fell from this perfect state we originated with, where we were blessed by Jehovah. So Ecclesiastes 3:19, it says, for there is an outcome for humans and an outcome for animals. They all have the same outcome. As the one dies, so the other dies, and they all have but one spirit. So man has no superiority over animals. Now, how sad is that? It says man, animals, kind of the same thing. And sometimes you see these beautiful buildings and they've been neglected. And you see the potential. You say, wow, this was such of a nice place. So sad that, you know, it was left, you know, to rot on its own there. And that's what happened to humankind. It says we have the same outcome as an animal. We're on the same level. So that's how low we went, you know, from having dominion over the earth, being sanctified by God, and now just like another animal. And we see quickly the consequences of that decision of disregard on life. Not many generation later, the first generation that was born on earth, Cain, killed his brother. Right? Again, lack of respect for this gift of life. Then we have Nimrod. Nimrod was a hunter in the position to Jehovah. He was opposing God's view of life because part of his hunting was humans. As a sport, he was hunting humans. What a lack of respect for Jehovah. Now, today is not, it's not much better, is it? We see what's happening in the world. The wars. And I don't know if you look much on TV, the news. You know, civilians, doesn't matter. Children, people hiding, you know, they just destroy everything. And then the bodies are left there and they're rotting on the street, right? Do we think about an outcome for man, an outcome for animals? They're the same. Roadkill, right? They're just there laying on the street. Nobody's picking them up. And that's war. We could say, oh, that's a bit different, but even in modern and civilized nation, right? Gun violence is rampant. Within the family, you see that in the news frequently anymore. It's not a shock anymore that a family member kill another member of his own family. So it's going down, going down. Abortion, there are millions of life lost to abortion. So life right now is seen as something that is of very little value, something that is dispensable. It doesn't matter. So few today respect or view life the same way Jehovah does. Now, how can we show that we have the same view as Jehovah on life? Well, the first step would be, right, to accept or recognize that only Jehovah can fix the wrong. So the state we are living in now, it's not personally our fault, but there's nothing we can do about it. Only Jehovah. So he's the originator of this gift of life. And when we say that, we think the original gift of life, right, the one that Adam and Eve left, lost. And he's the only one who can restore. So we wouldn't spend too much time and effort trying to fix something that we recognize is beyond our control. So this is the first step. Recognize only Jehovah can do something about it. Now, that doesn't mean because of that, then I can do whatever I want because it's not my fault and there's nothing I can do about it, right? If we value this gift that was given to us and that we'd like to get this gift back, then we try to show by our action that we want to live the way we were intended to live, right? And so try to live and change our life, change our personality in a way that would be pleasing to Jehovah, the way our personality should be had Adam and Eve not rebelled against Jehovah. A second point would be to show appreciation for the ransom sacrifice. Right? Now, we've just read how Jehovah think our lives right now, right, the same as the Jews, was so precious that it had to be compensated if it was lost. That was an imperfect life. As Ecclesiastes says, you know, just like an animal. And yet Jehovah viewed this as very, very precious. Now, to fix the wrong, Jehovah is willing to take a perfect life, one that he loves, and give away that life, that of Jesus. All right, so when we look at it this way, it has a lot of value. Jehovah really paid a very strong price to save our lives. And so we want to show appreciation for that. And Memorial season is coming, right? 15 hours. Easy for many of us to do. So are we going to, you know, try to touch as many people with this great hope that we have, with getting them to appreciate just the way we do that sacrifice of Jesus? True repentance, right? Again, would bring Jehovah's blessing. So we said we want to change our lives according to Jehovah's teaching. But also true repentance is important. That's what will lead us in this new system and giving us this new life. But also accepting this forgiveness from Jehovah. You know, is our mistake, our failure so big that Jesus' life was not good enough for us? Right. So there's appreciation for Jesus, and that's easy to say, oh yeah, this is great, this is awesome. But do we personally accept it? Right? Or do we burden ourselves and think Jehovah will never forgive me? So accept the sacrifice that Jesus gave of his perfect life and accept it for us. Now, we said it's important that we recognize what the giver of life think about life, right? We saw that. And now we understand how precious it is to Jehovah. Now, the next step would be to accept that this person, right, who gave us this life, and he's the only one. You can't turn around and go to someone else. He's the only one who can give us this gift. He has a right to tell us how we ought to live that life. All right, so let's turn into our Bible again in Isaiah 2 and 3 and see how this would affect us if we truly accept that Jehovah is the source of life, and that therefore it gives them a right to tell us how to live our life. So Isaiah 2 and 3. It says, and many people will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will instruct us about his ways, and we will walk in his path. Right, so we're listening. We say, okay, he has a right to tell us, so let's go and get some information from him. But that knowledge is not enough. What do? He says, well, we'll walk in the path. And so we will apply what he teaches us. And now if we go to 4, what would be the direct relation of us putting in practice? He says, he will render judgment among the nations and set matters straight respecting many peoples. They will beat their sword into plowshares. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Isn't that special? A direct correlation between accepting Jehovah's instruction, applying them in our life. Love, yes, we'll show love. Will show all the great qualities of Jehovah. But here in the scripture, it says, what will they do, right? They will have respect for life. They will not learn war anymore. Direct correlation between accepting Jehovah's teaching and the respect of life. It's a little bit like this here. It's a badge. That's mine. It's my name on it, my picture. And this badge gives me rights, gives me privileges, gives me access. I get to swipe it and walk in places other people can't go. So I get to do whatever I want with it, right? Well, let's look at what the back says. It says, it is understood that the holder of this card shall abide by and be subjected to the rules and regulation established by blah, 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 and that if he doesn't play nice, he has to give it back. All right. And so it is my card. You know, anybody finding it will say, well, that's Dan's card. Right? It has a picture, his name on it. But is it really my card? Because they can't take it away from me. And the same applies to our life. It is ours. Jehovah gave it to us. And we do get to do what we want with it. But whether we keep it or not, that depends on how we use that gift. So we want to make sure that we truly view it as a gift and act in accordance with that. Now, how would that affect us? Well, obviously, we would want to avoid negligence. Right? So if we have this great gift that is so precious to us, we wouldn't be negligent with it, would we? So when we work, you know, either at work or around the house, even here at the Kingdom Hall. And if you think of Jehovah's organization, are we obedient to Jehovah's organization? Because there's been a change, you know, depending how old you are, there's been a change as to how we behave when we work at the Kingdom Hall. I was on the scaffolding crew at the Assembly Hall in Montreal, and they loved me, I'll tell you. I was young, for one thing. And I would just climb up there, and I would tie up pieces of scaffolding to my shoulders. I would just climb like a monkey and go down in the X's. And they just loved me. I mean, this kid is awesome. What would happen now if I was doing that, right? They boot me out. They say, you're crazy. Get out of here, right? And so we need to move on with Jehovah's organization. Now I say, you know, wear the glasses, wear the boots, be careful. Two to go up in the ceiling, not just the one person. You go the roof. I remember Kingdom Hall building where kids were sitting on the roof for a picture. Right? That's not accepted anymore. Not only that, but the professional brother needs to be tied up. Right? So there's that change on the view that Jehovah has, and we need to go along with it. Now, obviously, war, things like that, it's obvious to us we wouldn't do that. But could we incur blood guilt by other things? You know, do we follow the laws of the land? You know, when it says don't go there, it's a big sign. Do you wonder, well, I wonder why I can't go there, because they don't tell me, right? Our cars, the way we drive our cars. I don't know if you know Andretti. He was a Formula One racer in the 80s. And once he said, if you feel like you're in control, you don't go fast enough. Now, are the people in the car with us feeling that maybe, you know, it's not totally under control? All right, so we want to be careful how we drive around. Our houses, are they in good repair? Are they safe? Well, remember in the law, if you had a rooftop, you had to have this fence around it so people wouldn't fall. It wasn't, well, he should have known better, right? We're on the second level. No, you were at fault if someone fell off your roof, right? So do we show that in our houses that we value a gift of life? Sometimes it's just putting salt on, you know, on the ice, on the sidewalk, right? Things, simple things like this that shows we value life. What about sports? They seem to have some sports where the purpose of the sport is to stay alive. All right, so really, it is put your life on the line and then hope, you know, that everything goes well. And then when you talk to these people, they say, I appreciate life so much when I do this. It makes me feel alive. I really cherish this gift of life. It's wonderful. Can we have the second picture, please? This is called the Lily Pond. It was also sold to Christie's. It was manufactured by Tiffany's, and there's about 40 of them left in the world. This one sold for $3.3 million. It's beautiful. I love the shade. Not sure about the foot, but the shade's great. So someone paid $3.3 million for this. Now, let's assume that we all have this kind of money, right? And we buy this lamp and we bring it home. And then we offer it to our husband, our wife. And we come back later and that person's laying on the couch and just throwing the lamp in the air and catching it again. You know, what would be our reaction, right? What are you doing? Oh, I love it so much. Every time I catch it, I'm so grateful I still have it. Right? Would you go, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing, and then carry on? No. Right? You say, you're crazy. Take the lamp, put it back on the table. Not on the edge of the table, in the middle of the table. Right? So thank you for the picture. So how is it when, you know, we have these activities? Maybe we go in nature, there's a cliff, right? How close do we get to the edge? You know, little things like this that would show us we truly value it, because we don't be on the edge of it, we'll be at a safe distance. And young ones, especially, we know young ones sometimes, they don't seem to always make good decisions. And I read an article in the National Geographic where it's saying it's been thought and believed for a long time that the reason teenagers were doing bad decisions was because their brain weren't fully developed. And then they researched it and said, you know what, it's not true. They fully understand the consequences or the possible consequences of their action. However, the rush of adrenaline or endorphin is stronger. All right, so they say, well, I'll go for the reward. All right, it's, to me, is more valuable than the possible consequences, right? So especially the young ones, let's be careful, you know, when we have these activities and when we play around and whatnot. There are things that are okay, right? I come from the country, so I'll give you examples from the country people. But, you know, jumping a hill with a dirt bike, I'm 50, I still do it. It's fun. Would it make sense, though, that you check what's on the other side before you jump it? You know, jumping off a bridge, a big rock, I still do it. It's fun. Would it make sense to check how much water there is, you know, before you jump? Right. This would show that we truly value the gift of life. I have a cousin. He has a scar across his nose because he dived. You know, there was not enough water. You know, he could have ended up in a wheelchair. Respect for life, right? Or he could have died. So respect for life. Little things that shows that we truly value it. It's not just something we say, but we truly do it. Rejecting attitude from the world of you get to decide what you want. Morality. And we might say, well, why morality? What does that have anything to do? Well, for one thing, we saw at the beginning, right, that procreation was to be done within the confine of marriage, right? So again, Jehovah has a right to tell us how to live our lives. And so we would want to respect that. Now, this also links to abortion. And often you hear the reason, oh, well, what if a woman gets raped or our life is in danger? But honestly, the vast majority of abortion are not because of those reasons, right? So, and within married couple, abortion is very rare that they would resort to that. So really, the bulk of abortion comes from ignoring Jehovah's law and morality, right? And all these lives are lost. Here's another one in Act 20:20. Act 20:20 says, I did not hold back from telling you any of the things that were profitable nor from teaching you publicly and from house to house. So I call you to witness this very day that I am clean from the blood of all men. So we have this knowledge that this life that we have, although it is precious, there is better, right? So we can share, you know, this news of how you can change your life, how you can have even better than you have now. So we can compare that to a fireman or even us, right? We're in a building and there's fire. Yes, you want to get out of there as quick as you can. But would you really, you know, do it quietly, you know, go down the hallways? And no, right? You want to get out fast, but you would bang on the doors. Or maybe there's smoke, you know, it's dangerous, you won't do that. But you might scream on your way down, say, hey, it's fire, fire, get out of here, right? You wouldn't just try to save your own life. You'd try to save as many as you can. And we have this opportunity. This is another way we can show our appreciation for life, is by trying to save as many lives as we can other than our own lives. So do we show that in our zeal for our ministry that we truly value Jehovah's gift? And so by recognizing that Jehovah is a source of life, by accepting that he has a right to tell us how to use that gift, and by trying as hard as we can to live according to his own standard, to the standard that will be, you know, established forever, really, then we show that we truly value this gift of life. So how long will we get to keep our badge? That really depends on how we use it.
Thank you, Brother Repair Seal, for showing us from the scriptures the importance.